The Power Moms Network, empowering moms to lift the world. Hey, thanks for joining me today for episode number 88 of Podcasting Your Brand. I'm your host, producer Jemmy, providing learning lessons for you to podcast your brand. And today, I'm going to be bringing you my next Podcasting 102 topic, sponsorship sales, with my pro podcasting peer guest, Nicole Walker. This episode is brought to you by my own brand, Flintstone Media. Listen in and let's do this first by starting with one of my social media tips. Hey, it's producer Jemmy with your quick podcasting tip today. I'm going to tell you three things that you can tell your guests before you get started recording that is going to help smooth out your interviews. Number one, let them know that at the beginning, you'll be doing an introduction and then bringing them in. Why? Because it cuts down on that awkward moment where they're not sure when they're supposed to start talking, okay? Number two, let them know that throughout the course of the conversation, if there's anything that they want to take out or have an opportunity to say differently and start over, that they can say cut too. Why do they want to know that they can say cut? Because it reduces their nerves and makes for an easier interview. Trust me, after over 8 years of doing this, I could probably count on one hand the number of guests who've actually said cut. It hardly ever happens, but it really helps reduce their nerves. So key. And number three, also let them know that at the end of the interview, you'll give them opportunity to tell your audience how they can find, follow, and support them. Why? So that it reduces their temptation to promote themselves throughout the course of the conversation, because that's not what you want. So say those three things before you get started recording with the guest, and they'll smooth out your interviews. Come out here every single day for a new podcasting tip, podcastingyourbrand.com. I'm producer Jemmy. So be sure that you're following me on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, so you not only get all of my daily tips, but you get them first. And if you want like 9+ years of daily tips, of podcasting tips, of expertise at your fingertips, well, then go to toppodcastworkshop.com and sign up for my 1 hour workshop. You'll be able to work with me in an intimate small group setting, and we'll dive into how we can make your podcast reach the next level. Again, that's toppodcastworkshop.com. Okay, now let's get on to today's lesson, sponsorship sales. And my pro podcasting peer guest today is Nicole Walker of Win Hers United. She is an award-winning podcaster. She is an international speaker. She is a sponsorship strategist, kind of the reason why I asked her to be here, don't you think? And she's also a women's empowerment advocate. So, you know, I love her. I've known her for years, so I love her so many reasons, but she's amazing. And she's been named a top 50 mom in podcasting. So I was a 40 over 40 in podcasting, and she's a top 50 mom in podcasting. So kudos to awesome podcasting. She's also a 2020 top influencer and was nominated for the 2021 Excellence in Audio Media Award. Oh my gosh. So Nicole and I first will uncover for you a critical truth that you must accept when you're trying to land a sponsor. Then we'll discuss the most important rule for you to remember to be sure that you're targeting the right potential sponsors for your show. And finally, she and I will share some tips on how to approach those sponsors and also how to find them. So this was recorded back in August of last year of 2023 as one of the final episodes of the season. And I'm finally bringing this conversation between myself and one of my favorite fellow brainiacs in the business out for release for you today. Now, the previous three episodes before leaving you on this bit of a cliffhanger hiatus, the last three episodes really set the stage for this conversation. I'll include links to the show notes for them. So let's continue clearing out the road to you getting paid. Let's talk about sponsorship sales with today's pro peer podcasting guest, Nicole Walker. All right. Well, we have been building up to this very conversation because episode 85 with my last pro peer guest was with John J. Wiley. We talked about building your media kit. And then episode 86 was about setting the table for your sponsors. How do you create opportunities for them to even be involved? Then 87 was walking you through creating those sponsorship packages. So all of that is all the kind of core elements that lead up to this conversation today. And I have someone very special who's special in my heart, and special in my podcasting world, to share this information with us today. So we're going to be talking about sponsorship sales generally, But before we get into it, I want to be sure that you know the awesomeness that is joining me on the microphone today. So Nicole Walker of Winhurst United. So my middle name is Nicole. And when I first met her, I was like, oh my God, we have a name in common. And every time I go to a podcast conference and I see her name either on the bill as a speaker or I see her face walking toward me in the hallway, I light up because Nicole, you are phenomenal. So welcome to the show, Nicole, and tell us all about yourself and Winhurst United. What do you guys do there? Because you guys help other people with podcasting and entrepreneurship. I do something similar. I understand we relate on that level. Tell us more about Winhurst United.
Yes. Well, thank you, Jimmy. I'm so grateful to be here, to be able to talk to your listeners and more about me and Winhurst United. Hey, everyone. Nicole Walker. I am the creator of Winhurst United, and Winhurst United actually started as a podcast. So we're your one-stop shop for business, mindset, personal development, and self-care conversations with winning women of color entrepreneurs. And Jimmy was actually a guest, right? So go check that out. You know, So I started out as a podcaster. A year later, I actually went into podcast coaching, helping aspiring podcasters actually become podcasters, everything from podcast ideation into podcast launch. And then in 2021, one of the podcasting conferences reached out to me and asked me to help them with sponsorship. So since then, I've been helping podcasting organizations as well as podcasters get sponsorships for their events as well as their podcasts. So that's sort of like a quick hit. Oh, I will say Winhurst United is an award-winning podcast, right? Like we are award-winning and award-nominated. 5 years in a game, over 160 women of color entrepreneurs sharing their wisdom. So make sure you go check that out.
So in other words, do unto others as you would have do unto you, because you have been helping people figure this out for so long. And here you are again doing it. And I just want all the wins to come back to you for your own sponsorships, your own business, all the things. So get to know Nicole, follow her. We'll at the end of the conversation, we'll let you know how, but make sure that you're part of Nicole's world because you want to be.
I love
that. Nicole, I'm so excited to be speaking. So let's get into this. One of the critical truths that I've figured out when trying to land a sponsor that I would love to get your initial thoughts on is you have to be professional. If you don't act professionally, no one's going to trust you with their money because they're like, well, we've earned this money, whether they worked hard enough or not to do it. Who knows? Who cares? But they, before they turn over this money to you, they need to know that you're going to handle those dollars and treat them well and deliver. So just in terms of presenting yourself and being professional and what all that entails, what does that mean for you? And how do you teach people how to present themselves to potential sponsors?
Yeah. So this is going to go along. So it's all going to thread in with some of the previous episodes that you mentioned, right? But the first thing that I tell people, and this is one of the talks that I give, is that media kit. You know, that media kit gives an air of professionality that these organizations are looking for, especially if you're reaching out to big corporations, right? Like, okay, hey, come sponsor my podcast. Well, okay, where am I going to learn more about you as an individual? Where am I going to learn more about your podcast? You know, all in one succinct place, right? So I think that that media kit is definitely important, you know, and if we're talking just reaching out to sponsors, that email that you're pitching to the people, right? Making sure that you're spelling the company's name correctly. Like that's a, you know, I mean, simple, but sometimes.
So in other words, when you're writing Nicole, make sure you don't put a space in between Win and her. There's no space. It's Winhurst.
Right. And it's a capital W and a capital H, right?
So that's I would say. You better respect it.
Listen, pay attention to detail. I'm very keen on detail, you know, and I think that the little things are the big things, right? And, and that makes you, it's a step above, you know, it makes you stand out from the crowd, right? And you want to stand out from the crowd, you know, and I believe that that is leaning towards professionality. I also believe that taking time to get to know the company that you're actually reaching out to shows a bit of professionality too. It shows that you actually care about who this organization is as opposed to just what this organization can do for you.
So I was going to ask you, what do you do when you're like researching a company and saying, you know, this company is now on your radar and you say, I think this might be a good fit. What do you look for? What's the research?
Yeah. So one of the most simple things is to research their mission statement, right? And some of their mission statements may be, you know, right on their website, but you may actually have to go into Google and type mission statement of this company, right? Because it may not be somewhere where you can immediately find it, but it's somewhere, right? So looking at their mission
statement. That's a great hack.
You know, tying in some of those words from their mission statement into your first sentence and how your mission as a podcaster or your company ties in with that organization. I think that, you know, like it's time consuming. Don't get me wrong. But again, it makes you stand out from the crowd. And if you want to even take it a step further, right? Like you're reaching out to a particular person, do some research on that person. Did they just win an award? Did they just have something great business wise? Like, don't be like, hey, I saw you out with your family having dinner yesterday. Like, you know, don't get creepy. You know, don't get creepy, right?
How was the field trip? You know, yeah.
You know, but something small but big, right? Because again, the small things are the big things. It makes you stand out. You know, it gives you that air of I care, as well as that air of I'm professional.
Yes.
And I'm serious about this thing, you know?
Yes, yes. You know what you're making me think of? Making me think of, let's say the average kid wants to be a basketball player or something, right? So they can walk on to any local team. You know, there's maybe not even a tryout involved. You just say, hey, I want to sign up. And they put a basketball in your hand and you're on the team. But if you are, it's a team that you actually have to work hard for. It's a high school level, college level, NBA level. If they see that you're not doing the little things, you're not showing up on time, your uniform's not clean, you're not giving respect to your teammates, you're not sharing the ball or whatever it is, like those little things, the coach sees that. And they know whether or not you're going to be a team player and they want you on the team because you're going to be able to deliver, okay, when they need you to deliver for them, not yourself, but for them. And so that's what I was thinking about when you're explaining that. And one of those things that I think we need to highlight big time, big, big time, is that it's in every single step. You can't get lax on everything. It's the media kit. It's the emails, as you were mentioning. It's the phone calls and the meetings that you have with them. It's how you present yourself on those calls. It's just, it's everything. And so it's how you interact with them on social media. So it is all those little things as well. And the big thing I think that they're looking for, I've seen sponsors looking for, is they need to know, is there going to be a good enough ROI for them? Why are we potentially even partnering? And for you to take the step, which is a great hack of Googling for the mission statement if you can't find it, is beautiful because that's going to immediately tell you who they're trying to serve. And what you want to tell them is who you're serving. Who are you serving up to them on a silver platter, right? Way back on episode 46, no, I don't know my episode numbers by heart. I literally looked that
Jamie,
up.
Listen, Jamie, I was just impressed. I was like, this lady knows her stuff, okay?
Couple episodes I do know by heart, but not that one. I've talked about how it's all about your listeners. And so in thinking about your audience, what is it about your audience that you need to tell and convey to a sponsor to really drive home that not only are you a great host, have a professional show, but that their audience is a good fit for them.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's super important. And some of the high level, simple things in relation to that is your age, their age, right? So that demographic of age that you have, that split of male, female, you know, that's super important. And then also like, who are they, right? So, you know, for example, two of my customers are businesses that focus on Black podcasters, right? So that's very specific. You know, if you're looking to get in front of Black podcasters, audio creatives, professionals in the audio industry, right, that also happen to be Black, you know, like I have that audience for you, you know? Right. So those particular details about what that person likes or doesn't like, or, you know, some of their behaviors, right? Like that's good information to have. And I heard a hack from a business coach that I follow one time, and I thought it was super, super amazing because it's like, okay, Nicole, that sounds amazing, but I don't know that information, and how am I supposed to know that information, right? So if there's a company out there or a podcast, well, I would say more or less company, right? But a company out there that's very similar to your podcast or your target audience, Google the media kit for that company because they pay big bucks to get the people to do that research, right? And if that's their audience and you guys are similar, then your audiences are similar, right? So that could be some kind of hack of ways that you can learn more about your people if you don't have direct access to ask them those questions, right? Also sending a survey, you know, but as much details that you have about your people, who they are, what they're into, you know, and ensuring that it ties in with that company and who they want to get in front of, that definitely is what people look for.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing that they want to know is sometimes it's funny. Sometimes I get asked about numbers. Sometimes I don't. It's weird. I haven't really figured out the pattern for that yet. But when I do get asked for numbers, you know, audience size, those kinds of things, there's a lot. So I was a data analyst back a long time ago. So when I look at data sets, I'm a big old nerd about data. I love data. I love how you can break it down. It's all different kinds of things. And right now I'm working on a media kit for a client. And so I'm looking at their stats and trying to figure out, okay, what's the best representation of their audience? And so two things I want to talk about real quick here is how do you best judge what stats to put into print on a media kit? Because a lot of podcasters are very nervous that their numbers are too small. Their numbers aren't impressive enough. What is something that you do to help explain through the media kit or whatever that the numbers are strong or how to convey that? What's the best impression? How do you do that?
Yeah. So I just want to throw out a PSA first, right? Like a lot of times, you know, like we want these millions and millions of downloads and we don't have them, right? Mm-hmm. But what we do have is this specific audience that other people with these millions of downloads may not have, right?
So that's right. They're don't a big, wide net.
Right. You're don't let a small number, you know, like deter you, right? Because if your audience is niche and specific and companies want to get in front of these people, then you have what they want, regardless of whether or not that number is small. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I will say your overall downloads is important. That's a blanket number everyone looks for, right? But I like to play around with percentages because I believe percentages tell a different story, you know, than an actual number, and it can make that number seem more grandiose, right? So I'm a percentage girl, right? And I like to show, okay, this is our number, but how are we growing, right? So I think month over month growth is a great number, you know, quarter over quarter, year over year, you know, biannually, however you want to do that, right? But to show them like, okay, this is our number, but this is how much we're growing, right? Because that shows them that you guys are going places and you're going places, right?
Yeah.
So I think that that's super, super important.
100%. I think I couldn't have said it better myself. And so now you're presenting this package to your media kit to a potential sponsor. You're getting the conversation started. Oftentimes, though, you hit objections, just as natural of any kind of sales. You're going to hit some sort of objections. Ones that I've often seen are related to the price points being too high or something of that nature. What kind of objections do you often face, and how do you approach them or tackle them or push them back?
Yeah. So some of the objections is just a flat out no, right? Like, no, we're not interested. You know, that's the ones that I've received so far.
I actually appreciate those because they're the fastest that I move on.
Right. You know, like, no, we're not interested at this time. Right. So it's like, okay, they're not interested in money, you know, and then a lot of times they'll say, oh, we think what
you're doing. Wait. Let's not skip over that. I love that mentality. You're like, okay, they're not interested in money. That is a beautiful way to look at it. Don't look at it as a no to yourself. Look at it as a, they are rejecting money in their own pocket. Okay, keep going, girlfriend. That was awesome.
You know, but then it's like, oh yeah, I think your platform is great. So then I'll say, oh, well, are you willing to, you know, let others know about the platform? So it's like, okay, you don't want to give me money. You don't possibly want to get money, you know, from my listeners, but will you help spread the word and help us to gain more listeners, you know? And sometimes people are willing to, sometimes they're not, right? When I do sponsorship for events, for those that say no, we introduce the idea of in-kind sponsorship. And we introduce the idea of helping us promote, you know, so it's like, you know, like you can't give money
partner.
Right. But give us some products, you know, or help us to continue to spread the word, right? So those are some of the things that I've dealt with in relation to that. I haven't dealt with too many haggle situations where people,
okay, good,
people were trying to haggle, right? But if I do, I'm going to call you, Jimmy, because it sounds like you have some expertise.
Just a little bit. I always embed flexibility into what I do. Like, I present certain packages, you know, two or three, depending on who I'm working with. I'll have packages that are really nailed down. But while I'm creating those packages, and I talked about this on the last episode, while I'm creating the packages, I'm thinking about what flexibilities can be built in between the lines, right? And so that when somebody's saying, well, we don't really need this, but all the rest of it looks great. Okay, well, let's just take out that one part and maybe we can put something else in so the price point doesn't change. Or right, maybe we take out one part and just the price point changes just a little bit, you know. But having that ability to ask them what they truly need and then to be able to be flexible in your deliverables so that you can meet those objections and then get on the same page. And actually, I want to rewind. I meant to ask you this earlier about deliverables themselves, because it's not just about an audio ad in the podcast itself. That is one type of deliverable that you as a podcaster can make. And I think podcasters should stop thinking about themselves. I think it's a bit limiting to say, I'm a podcaster. Think about yourself as I'm a content creator, and podcasting is your specialty. It's your core. It's your cornerstone. But really, you're creating content. So that means all the different things. So what are some of the all the different things that you tend to include or encourage others to include in their packages?
Yeah, I love that question. Great question. And agree 1000%, right? Because I am very much a value-based pricing person. I encourage all of my clients to go after value-based pricing, mm-hmm, which doesn't just include your podcast, especially if your numbers are not large, right? Right? So you have to think, okay, I have this podcast audience. I also have this social media audience. I also have this email list audience, right? Website, you mm-hmm could also, if you throw events, and I also have an event, right? So you could create an amazing package that looks like, hey, I'll send out an email about your organization to my email list, right? Yeah. That could be a package within itself. You could bundle everything up, be on my podcast, be on my email, social media posts, social media stories, social media reel. Like, social media allows you to break down packages, you know, in several different chunks, you know, and not just one thing, right? And then what else? I guess I haven't dealt with website personally, but it's some kind of way you could throw something about them up on the website, right? People put ads on their website all the time.
Oh, I do that all the time, girlfriend. Yeah. Okay. Banner ad. Sometimes it's a blog post. Yeah. You can entice them with all kinds of, throw in the word, hey, it'll help you with your SEO. Throw that in there. They love that.
Right. You know, so it's so many ways. And I agree with you, Jimmy, 1000%. Like, don't just limit yourself to your podcast, especially if your numbers are small, because your numbers are large. Like, you have all of mm-hmm these different ways to reach people, you know, mm-hmm, and you get to show them how they can be, you know, reach people and get that brand awareness and possibly get customers.
Yeah. And another thing that I wanted to share with my listeners, and I would love your perspective on this too, because I think more and more telling the story of the brand and of the opportunity of the show is super important, but it's hard to figure out how to do that when you're talking about just looking at something on paper. So you have this media kit and you're explaining who you are as a host, what the show's about, you know, topics, the type of guests, that kind of thing. But in fact, in the media kit I'm putting together for a client right now, I'm being really intentional, more intentional than I have been in the past, because I'm seeing how important it's becoming in order to continue to stand out. I'm telling the story of her influence. And so it's her on the microphone as a podcaster. It's her as a speaker. It's then when she puts out the episode, then how she posts it, and then how that gets shared across the different platforms, and the influence then continues, and those kinds of things. Like, I'm trying to project that not only is it not just a singular deliverable, but there are so many touch points with her as an influencer. Is it important nowadays to really capture the story of you as a brand owner, as a brand representative, and not just, it's like not even, it's not just about who you are anymore. It's about what what your influence is going to be, what are all the tendrils that are going to extend from you once this deal is done? Are you seeing that more people are trying to say, okay, how far do our dollars stretch with this?
I like that question. You know, I could agree with that. I don't know if I had that much experience in it, but I could see it being a thing. So from my vantage point, like, I encourage people, number one, to tell their story, right? Because people don't buy a product, they buy into the person, you know, like, especially when we're influencers, right? Whether you want to accept yourself as an influencer or not, you are, right? And people buy into you. You know, that's why people listen to your podcast.
Your sponsor wants you to be, so accept it.
Right. You know, yeah, like they're coming back for you, not necessarily for your topic. They love your personality. They love your quirkiness. Right. It's something about you that they love, right? And a lot of times when people are building these media kits, they're forgetting to tie in that story about them, you know, like what makes you the person that tells this story the best or whatever. And I like it to get very personal, which I think people sometimes forget about, you know, okay, you graduated from here, you did this, you did that. That's great. But like, what's the heart jerker? Like, what's the real reason behind why this thing is super important to you?
Right.
You know, like, I think that's super, super important. And I think it also shows brands that you're truly vested in your thing, right? Because we know Pod Fade is real. You know, they're like, okay, I give you money. How I know in three episodes, you're going to be going with the wind. And next thing you know, your podcast might not even be played nowhere, you know, like that kind of thing, right? You know, so I do think it's important to, you know, tell your story about why this thing is important to you. You know, and your, how much you are invested in what you have going on. But I love what you said. Like, the way I've done the, this is how far my reach goes, is to also include, you know, the social media stats and all of those other stats to show, like, this is how far I go. But I haven't done that in words for any of my clients. So you're giving me some ideas, Jimmy. But I will say one thing I do think that's super important that I will be implementing soon is also letting them know not only this is how far my reach goes, but also letting some of these companies know how impactful it is to be a sponsor of a podcast or to have ads on a podcast, pulling in some of that data from Edison Research and all of these different places that let you know, you know, like, podcasting is it. We have a loyal audience that is more likely to buy than a lot of these other audiences.
Higher average consumer household income, higher average consumer buy-in rate per hearing their ad. Yeah, per impression. That's what I was looking for, per impression. Like, podcast listeners tend to buy more just period and buy more often and spend more money. And so that also is part of the story, just that general piece about the power of the podcasting. You're so right. It's interesting that you say that, because when I think the first media kit I did was probably in 2017. And then it really felt like our feet were at the fire. Like, we had to put that in there because we had to express the opportunity for people to really understand it, because people are still getting used to even what podcasting was, and the awareness of podcasting is in general as a platform. And so for a while, the last couple of years, I've been thinking, is that part of it still really necessary? And you know what? In this conversation, you just reignited that, yes, it's still super necessary, because it's not just about explaining that it's a thing, people buy it. But not only is it a thing, it's across the board one of the strongest ways to sell products and services and meet with potential customers, because all podcast listeners have done is raise their hand and self-filtered and said we want this, we want information about tennis products. Like, that's what we want, because we've raised our hand to download and subscribe to a tennis podcast, right? And so to be able to have that three story touch points. Number one, the story of the host that explains how your missions are come together, make sense together. The story of how your tendrils of influence are going to extend because of who you are and how all the different places that you show up and how you're going to be talking about their products and services in these different places. But then also just the power of podcasting, period, as a platform to sell products and services. I think all three of those are super, super important. And I could kind of talk about this with you like all day, but I gotta ask you one more question. So when you are setting I often say that when you're wanting to have a sponsor come to you, you need to set the table. You need to have, of course, all the things that we talked about, like the media kit and all that kind of stuff. You need to be professional. But part of that setting the table is also having opportunities within the podcast itself to partner with somebody, for someone to come in as a content contributor or to sponsor a certain segment or anything of that nature. So just your general thoughts on that in terms of the advice that you've given your clients of ways that they can prepare their podcast for sponsors. How do you make your podcast ready for sponsorship?
Yeah, I would definitely say what I've seen in two cases is, you know, those ads as well as like having those particular segments that you can sponsor, right? But what I've mm-hmm. heard in the past that I thought was super amazing, right, is where a person weaves a product into a story that they're telling. Like, oh my mm-hmm. goodness, we haven't used that yet, right? But I think that that's super, super amazing, you know, to be able yes. to weave that into a story, right? Because the people are usually tuned into a story, and sometimes a person can tune out, you know, when you're reading an ad or, you know, just talking yes. about an ad, right? I will also say, you know, always just bringing that personality, right? So I don't know how much of a fan I am as far as like a scripted ad, you know, but making it, you know, like your personality, your own, like, you know, okay, give me the basis of what y'all want me to say, but let yeah. me be me in that thing, because these people come back for me, you know. So being able to negotiate your own personality, or being okay with letting a sponsor know, this is how I do things, you know, and it's because this is the way that we'll both have success. You know, I'll be able to give you what you're looking for. My listeners will be able to get the me that they're used to getting, you know, and it's a win-win situation, right? I will say, you know, depending on how long your podcast is, right? If you are making room for ads, determining how many ads that you want in your podcast, and then maybe shortening some of your content, right, around that. If you don't want to, you know, extend it because you know your listeners are going to check out after 30 minutes, well, then don't extend it, right? Shorten some of your stuff so that you add in those places for those ads, right? So that's some high level stuff.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Actually, I was giggling. My stomach was like cramping from giggling inside while you were explaining about putting your personality and reading it and embedding it within your own story, because it brought back a memory. So my other show, Power Moms, I have, I think it was episode 6 or 7 that I brought back an interview that I did with an old client of mine, Mr. Michaela, from 4 years ago, because it was perfect. But she's wonderful. That's not the right word. In meeting and working with Mr. Michaela and her husband, I helped launch their podcast. And one of their early sponsors, if not the first sponsor. So it was this company. Oh my God. It's this company called, I think it was called Backblade, right? And so it was a grooming tool for men. And so they had been joking on the podcast about how Scott has like lower back hair. And so they decided to make this company reached out and said, hey, here's a back blade. And so they joke about, the whole conversation was about how he had to deal with his back hair and he couldn't do it. And then so she walks in with the back blade. She's like, honey, I'm not doing this anymore. And she hands it to him and he did it himself and it was successful. And he's like, oh, thank God. But the peach fuzz on the back of my lower back is gone. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever heard. And it was just themselves being genuine. And of course it was, you know, product placement lack of better way to put it, but it was brilliantly done. And it was a real true story of something that it actually did. So yes, I think when you can do that, it can work out so, so well, but it has to come across as the real deal.
Right.
But it
right.
can be amazing when it works. Oh my gosh. Nicole, I could talk to you forever about this. I guess the last thing I'll say is and this is to the listener, follow Nicole. And when you know that she's going to be on a stage, you need to make sure that you're in the audience, because your presentations are phenomenal. So just thank you so much for everything that you've put out into the podcasting spaces. You've definitely been a leader, someone who I've been admiring now for a long time, as long as we've known each other. And I'll put a link in the show notes to my episode with hers for sure. Thank you again for that opportunity. But tell, other than listening to my episode, how can people continue to find, follow, and support you, Nicole?
Yeah. So if you are interested in any help with sponsorship or anything like that, you can go to winhersunited.com/book-a-call. If you just want to check out Winhers United and see what's going on there, go to winhersunited.com. And from winhersunited.com, you can link out to all my social media platforms.
So if you're listening to this instead of watching this, you can't see this, but Nicole has a sign behind her that says, "Let your light shine." And that is something you definitely, definitely do. When I mentioned at the beginning that I get so joyously happy when I see your face walking toward me at a podcast conference, it's like, I know I'm going to have about to have the best hug ever. And just, you're so warm and I adore you. So thank you for being my guest today, Nicole.
Thank you, Jimmy. I love what you're doing. Like, this is top notch, grade A stuff, y'all. I hope y'all taking all the notes and implementing all the things.
Thanks, Nicole.
You're welcome.
All right. So is it any wonder why Nicole was the perfect pro podcaster peer guest to invite onto my show and take a deep dive into sponsorship sales? I mean, she's a sponsorship strategist and she has a track record to back it up. So if you ever are at a conference and you see her name on the roster to speak, you better be sure that you're in that room. In fact, I saw her at PodFest 10th anniversary a couple weeks ago, and she was so fantastic. So yeah, if you ever see her name listed as a speaker, make sure you're in that room. But meanwhile, I hope this conversation helped to clear up that roadmap for your own sponsorship sales. So thank you so, so very much, Nicole. All right, now let's end with one more of my social media tips. Again, be sure to subscribe to me on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube, so that you get all of my tips and you get them first. Now, there's a new feature also in podcastingyourbrand.com. I am showing off some of the shows that have said that they are listening to this show, but I can't just remember, because you told me in passing, you have to email me. So email me, jaime@flintstonemedia.com, and let me know that you're using this show to help improve and grow your show. And then we'll include your show and a click through to it on podcastingyourbrand.com. All right. And if you have any questions or are interested in becoming a sponsoring brand of the show or want to reach out for any other reason, just email me. Okay. My email address is Jemmy. That's spelled J-A-I-M-E, because I like to make it difficult. It's pronounced Jemmy. Spelled J-A-I-M-E @flintstonemedia.com. All right. It is producer Jemmy signing off for now. Remember, the only thing more powerful than your voice is your spirit to use it. So turn that mic on. Until next time. Now let's hear that tip. Hey, it is producer Jemmy with your tip for today. Now, I have been heads down editing a bunch of interviews for this upcoming project I cannot wait to tell you about. But in doing so, I realized I have a tendency to start my interviews in one of two ways. So I thought I'd share that as a tip for you for today. So if the show that you're about to record, if the conversation is more serious in tone, then start with something profound, something that kind of teases out what the impact of the conversation is about to be. If it's something funny and lighthearted, however, then you can start with something clever, like a quip. For example, one of the interviews that I did, the woman's last name was Brandris, and the interview's topic was about branding. So I made a clever joke about, at least I thought it was funny, about the matchup between her name and the topic at hand. That was a funny way to start the conversation. So hopefully those are two ways that you can consider using as your toolbox to start your conversations. Come back here every day, podcastingyourbrand.com. I'm producer Jemmy.
Flintstone Media has been building brands through the power of podcasting since 2014, serving as an award-winning and highly resourceful podcast production house and consultancy firm. Work with producer Jemmy, a leader in the podcast industry, and add a new podcast to your brand's content offerings. From show development and setup through recording and distribution, producer Jemmy and her team will lend their experience launching dozens of successful podcasts and producing thousands of episodes, making creating your show a simple and easy turnkey process for you. Visit FlintstoneMedia.com for podcast samples. That's FlintstoneMedia.com.